You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. Today is the 24th of March, 2016, and today we are talking once again to Sibel Edmonds of BoilingFrogsPost.com, who, as you know by now, is also currently in the midst of a fundraiser for NewsBud.com, a new media venture featuring the likes of Pepe Escobar and Peter B. Collins and Guillermo Jimenez and many other people that we've talked to in recent weeks here, Philip Kovacevic and others. So I hope you'll look into our previous conversations about NewsBud and the conversations with various members of the NewsBud team for more information on that fundraiser. Link in the show notes as always. But today we're going to be talking about the latest breaking news from Europe, where the war of terror continues to rage. And of course, we're talking about the attacks in Brussels, a.k.a. the heart of the beast, the EU beast, the NATO beast. A lot of different beasts reside in Brussels, and it's interesting to see this latest iteration of the false flag war on terror hysteria ratcheting up tensions once again. Lots of information still breaking about this story, but for people who need some more elaboration of what exactly Brussels is about and why this may be important in a bigger story, I suggest you check out some of our previous conversations with Sibel Edmonds, specifically conversations we've had on Gladio B and its connections to Brussels/NATO terror, and also our conversation on the December Paris attacks, where we talked about an interesting article from thenation.ae, anti-terror raids suggest Belgium has become center for extremists, which we laughed about at the time as, well, hey, is this an expose of Gladio B? Are they finally breaking? Oh no, they're just playing into the same war of terror narrative. So to break down what's really happening here, once again, we have Sibel Edmonds on the line with us today. Sibel, thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, James.
All right, let's head straight into this conversation. As we talked about off air before we started recording, this sounds like deja vu all over again. In fact, there are a lot of explicit linkages here with the December Paris attacks. And obviously, people are talking about this is the same cell and these various characters are related to that cell. Salah Abdeslam has been fingered as one of the masterminds of the Paris attacks. So all of this is playing out again, but it's not just the Paris attacks. It's really a reiteration of a cycle we've been seeing for a while here. Perhaps the most interesting part of this is that it did take place in Brussels at a metro station near the EU headquarters. Is this significant? Is this a change in operating procedure? Is this more of the same? What's your analysis of what's going on here?
As you said, James, there is absolutely no variation on the script itself. We are looking at having all the pre-warnings. It's going to happen. Belgium is the hub. And there is this imminent threat of terrorist attack with bombs. And, of course, all of these attributed to ISIL, as it used to be with Al-Qaeda. So that part really fits the script. And as far as the location and the importance of it, usually, as it has been the case with other events, whether we are talking about 9/11 or the Paris attack, you get to see the purpose and the goal, the objective afterwards. Meaning right now it's a bit premature. Unless they are people who are so savvy and they have been paying attention to a lot of things, let's say in Europe. Has there been certain legislations that have been facing resistance that this attack is going to make it sail through? Are there some new immigration policies, practices that they were planning to put in place and this is going to make it sail through? Is it possible that we are going to have further attacks or escalate attacks on Syria? And this would, again, pave the way for it. So usually, as we have done, you and I, with all the other attacks, we tell people, sit tight, watch, open your ears, listen. And then as you see the consequent events, it's going to start clicking. It's going to start making sense to you. And I'm sure it's going to happen with this one as it has happened with all the other terror attacks. And to me, one of the most amazing thing, I think, about the whole of this and Paris attack is that they don't even bother changing any of the elements in their script. It's like, okay, this script has been so successful with 9/11, okay, with 7/7 in the UK, with Boston Marathon bombing. Why even change it? So we can recycle the same script. Maybe we'll change the location, okay, to change the name of the people involved, maybe measure the number of deaths we want to achieve, but pretty much we are looking exactly at the same thing. And another thing that I found fascinating was the fact that within a few hours, the pictures of the suspects were out. One of the websites I noticed was Russia Today, RT. And it's amazing. I'm sure I will send you the link if you already, most likely you have it already. But the description, it's amazing. So these are two dark Middle Eastern guys, okay? They are bearded, okay? And they dress suspiciously. They are wearing black jumpsuits. And they are wearing on their right hand, one hand, black leather gloves, okay? And they are acting very suspiciously. I mean, think about it, James. You want to execute a terror event like this. I mean, the beard has to go. I'm talking about you. You got to shave that beard, lighten up that hair, maybe bleach it a little bit. You know, wear some trendy jeans, you know, the ones that sit low in your hips. Basically, what they are depicting is other than holding and waving ISIS logo, the one I bet was created somewhere in New York City, and the flag, they were like saying, here we are. We're going to bomb.
Yeah. That's funny that you bring that up, because that was one of the things I noticed in every story I read about it as it was unfolding, is they raided some apartment in Brussels and found an ISIS flag. It's an Islamic State flag.
Oh, absolutely. It's like it's all set. So you don't even have to bring forensic teams. You don't have to investigate. You don't have to have frame by frame analysis of what took place. Boom, 2 hours, ISIS claimed responsibility. Here are the two culprits. Look how they are dressed. And to me, that is absolutely amazing. And how it's going, like, okay, it's the new normal, I guess. People there, they don't even pause and say. And after all, we are talking about Brussels, NATO headquarters, the artery for, main artery for Operation Gladio B's implementations and strategic planning. This is the city we are talking about having facial recognition softwares all over the place. Okay. First of all, it's not too big. So it's not like it's happening somewhere in Natchez, Mississippi in the United States. Oh yeah, they didn't have these high-tech cameras. You're looking at Belgium, this miniature, tiny little place. Okay. You're looking at Brussels and these guys, and with their connection to the people on the list, which we have it with every single terror event that we see. Oh, by the way, they were on the list. How about that? You know, with Boston Marathon bombing, they had gotten tip from Russia. CIA had them on the list. And oh, yeah, we did. So it's almost surreal. And therefore, I guess there is not much to add as the event itself. The question remains, what are the objectives, or what is the objective in this particular case? And I'll tell you, we'll know about it in less than a week, okay? Because things are going to happen. They're going to show this as a cause. It's going to provide the pretext, and lo and behold, we'll have furthering of Operation Gladio with nod from people saying, yes, do it, because this happened, sure do it.
Well, let me throw out one at least possible angle on this that I see developing right now, is that we had Erdogan talking just a few days ago about how this bomb that happened in Ankara could happen in Brussels. It could happen in Europe. You have to watch with the snakes you're lying with, because, of course, Erdogan and Turkey generally are panicking about the possibility being floated right now about the creation of a Kurdish state of some sort from the ashes of Syria. And so they want military intervention and to kick up once again in Syria. And lo and behold, this bombing takes place a few days after Erdogan's warning, prescient warning. And hey, lo and behold, now it's coming out that Ibrahim el-Bakrawi, one of these people who have been fingered in the grainy photos that were released hours after the attack, was deported from Turkey in 2015 with a warning to Belgian authorities, these guys might strike.
Absolutely. And interestingly, we are looking both at NATO member nations. One is the headquarters of NATO, hosts the headquarters of the NATO. The other one is Turkey, which is this has been the training grounds for ISIL. This is where they went. Well, the idea, the strategy was created, Pentagon, CIA, NATO, okay, Brussels. Then the implementation, before we even started hearing from the media, starting saying ISIL became catchy, was in Turkey on the ground, training them, arming them, funneling them into Syria. How do you think, I mean, people don't even ask when they are told that hundreds and hundreds of people are going there armed and trained. I mean, how are they getting there? They are saying people from Europe, people from Belgium, people from UK are going in and out of Syria, coming back as if it's easy. I tell people I was within the border region of Turkey and Syria last summer. Try it. It's not easy. It's not you're not doing it, you know, on top of some donkey in the middle of some desert with nothing. You're looking at this age that we are in with the drones, with, again, facial recognition software, CCTVs everywhere, okay, visa requirement, yet the lines are all open. People are going in, coming back to their hometowns in Great Britain, in Belgium. Weapons are flowing freely in there. I don't know.
If they wanted to stop it, they could stop it.
Absolutely. I mean, this was by design. This was created by design. This was the brand to replace Al-Qaeda. And people today are far more receptive to this fairy tale than they were right around 9/11. To me, that is the disheartening part, James, because we had many skeptics with 9/11. You know, there was some push, you know, people were resisting, saying this doesn't add up, this doesn't make sense. You would have thought that that would have been an eye-opener and the other ones would actually lose effectiveness and people wouldn't buy it. But we are seeing the opposite phenomenon happening with each one of these script so clearly synthetically designed events. We are seeing public far more receptive to accept it as reality, as the fact, and not even think twice about it or raise any questions about it. To me, for me, that happens to be the most disheartening part.
I agree completely. And now look at the dialectic that's being entered into with the 2016 presidential race. It's like, are you a ban? Are you for a ban on all Muslim immigrants to the United States or not? Are you against these dastardly terrorists or not? It's 9/11 times a thousand in terms of the hysteria that's being generated from these
Absolutely.
Events right now.
They have completely gone way and above beyond Bush administration. You're either with us or without us. Now we have public like a choir. I mean, they are chanting it. And again, that is frightening. That is disheartening. I'm afraid a lot of things that we are looking at today are far more disheartening and pessimistic than they were 14 years ago. I'm one of those people who likes to stay in the positive, optimistic side. But realities are realities and facts are facts. And we can't go about denying it and playing Pollyanna here.
And look at the growing opposition to these false flag events online that are now saying, no, you guys have it wrong. Nothing happened. There were no explosions. No one died. It's all fake. This is now the refrain after every single one of these incidents, so that we don't ever have to look at any of the actual connections, any of the people. We don't have to do any of the legwork on any of anything that's going on. It's like, oh, you know, the alleged Boston bomber marathon guys were had an uncle living with a CIA chief, you know, from Kabul. I mean, what's going on there? No, doesn't matter. Nothing happened. No one died. It was all fake holograms or something. And this is now the meme that's taking over in the alt media.
And to me, it really makes me angry, James, because they're also using this this really crazy hypothesis by using factual phrases and real things. For example, they have changed the definition and meaning of false flag operations. In false flag operations, the event is synthetically created, but the event takes place and they await the reaction, and with the reaction to the event, they go and implement further strategies. That is a definition of false flag. What these people are doing, they are, as you said before we started recording, they are mixing the definition of hoax with false flag operations. And that really aggravates me when people start plugging in those theories into the real false flag operations we have been witnessing, including 9/11. Oh, that was fake blood. They hired actors, and these people are actors who are implementing that. And they are doing so much damage to the truth movement for all these people, all of us who have been working hard trying to inform people, even though we have been receiving the same title of conspiracy theorist, which basically is a badge of honor. But now we are basically placed in the same bucket with people who are taking it to some really outside, non-existent level. Sandy Hook didn't happen. In the case that I have been working with Lavoie Finicum, you'd be amazed the number of emails I have received saying that he didn't die and that was all fake. He was faking it. He's living somewhere in Montana and living happily ever after. I mean, I attended the memorial. I saw this man's casket. There are all these witnesses, and now, I mean, these people are coming, and they are saying, I'm a shill, you're a shill, for accepting the fact that these people are actually dead, and they were not actors, that it took place, you know? And there are people who are saying that in 9/11, all those people in the buildings were placed in some kind of a Pentagon spaceship, and they were sent somewhere. I don't know up there which planet they were sent to, but unfortunately, that ends up causing more damage for our cause, what we are doing, than, let's say, the mainstream media with what they are doing, you know, or government sabotaging it. And maybe it is part of that sabotage. I don't know if it is calculated and planned, or is it that we have so many people who have lost it, unfortunately, and they need to come up with some fantastic fantasies. And actually countering us, going against people who are doing the work, I don't know. It's mind-boggling, and it's I don't want to say disheartening, because I feel stronger about this. I feel angry about this, and I don't have any tolerance.
But it is also disheartening, because again, divide and conquer works all over the place. It's working within the electorate. It's working within the alt media. It's working everywhere. And so the Gladio B operatives get away with their same tired old script over and over, because everyone's fighting with everyone else rather than the Gladio B operatives and trying to expose the program. So,
absolutely.
But who knows? Maybe they really don't like killing people. They you know, it's all fake and it's all actors, because they just don't like blood. I mean, they're such nice people fundamentally.
I know. I was theorizing. I was saying the script is not changing. I'm like, maybe they are more budget conscious, because we know how they use Hollywood to write the scripts. It's like, okay, let's not pay these people in Hollywood and just use the same script. We change the name of the actors and use the same one. Maybe they are feeling the pressure from economy. I'm trying to theorize on the fact that, hey, why do we even have to change the script? Because the script works, and as long as it works, no need to change.
All right. Well, for those who are interested in actual analyses of what's happening here, I'm sure we can continue to expect more coming out from the Boiling Frogs and NewsBud team. Once again, you are in the midst of the Kickstarter for NewsBud. Tell us about how that's going and how things are progressing.
Oh, I don't want to use the word disheartening a lot. It is not going as well as we expected. We only have 3 weeks left. And again, this is not going to reflect on us. So I'm not taking this personally, the journalists we have. It reflects on the state of our society and the receptiveness of people. Every time maybe I get hopeful and think we're almost there, we can do it together, I see that unless you fall in this paradigm of right and left, etc., it doesn't happen. And the other important thing about this is the fact that, we are talking about a platform that is so needed during this ticking bomb time frame that we are in. And I'm looking at some of these Kickstarters. Somebody came up with this card game that each card finishes another person's card's joke. Okay, so it's like paper they're going to produce. They came and asked for something like $400,000. So far, they have raised $1.7 million. And the fact that as society, I don't have anything against the card. I'm sure it's funny. I'm sure it's good. But the entertainment comes first. The shallow, some computer game comes first. And let's say anything that has to do with information, anything that has to do with things that help us gain independence to make the deep state irrelevant, not a priority, unfortunately, for many people. I would have thought it would have been a priority for more people, but maybe the time is not here yet for that. But I haven't given up. We haven't given up. We still have 3 weeks to go, and we are going to do our best. And I don't think any of us are going to give up. We've been in this for a long time. You've been in this for 8 years. I have been in it for 14 years. So it's not something that you get discouraged and you give up. We won't give up, but we also accept the reality and say, this is the current reality, and keep trying to, as much as possible, to enlighten people and to change it, because what else can we do at this point? And to practice in our real life what you all the time preach in a great way, and that is apply to self and get your independence, whether it's through financial stuff, through your currency, through your own gardening, through all the different things you can do, because it may look like nothing, but you have more and more people doing it. That is a very, it's a macro way to make the system irrelevant. And that is absolutely something that I subscribe to, and we hope to see more and more people doing, James.
Well, that's it. I mean, we can't give up what we're doing. So we'll just keep doing it in one way or another, one fashion or another. All right. Well, speaking of that, we'll leave the conversation here. The links to all of the things that we've been talking about will be in the show notes for this, as always, at my site, at Boiling Frogs Post, and elsewhere. So I hope people will check into that. Belle Edmonds, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you for having me on, as always, James.